Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, award-winning author Bill Swan. Bill is the author of 12 books, including three in the Real Justice series, which we were talking about before the break. Bill, we mentioned in your introduction that your book, Real Justice 14 and Sentenced to Death, won the Ontario Library Association Red Maple Nonfiction Award and was nominated for the Norma Fleck Award for Children's Nonfiction. Tell us, please, what the Red Maple Awards are and what winning that award means to you.
The Red Maple Award is part of Ontario Library Association's Forest of Reading. And Forest of Reading is just a super program. And in that, they nominate age different categories. I think it's about 10 books in each category that are nominated. And they're presented to schools and the participating schools all across the province. Then the children who read that have arranged through their teacher. They have to read 5 of the 10 books that are nominated, and then the kids vote on what their favorite book is. And across the whole province, then they tally the winners. And then in a great ceremony at Harbourfront, early in May each year, the authors are celebrated, the winners are announced in a performance that is very much like the Academy Awards. And for one day, the authors are treated like royalty with screaming school children, and we're treated like rock stars. Oh, and it is just fantastic and amazing.
I guess especially as it's kind of the People's Choice Award as opposed to a jury of fellow writers.
It's one of those moments because I didn't expect this. I had been part of a short tour by the OLA that year, I think 2 weeks before, in northern schools around Parry Sound and North Bay. And that's 3 days of wonderful awards where twice a day they would trot us all out into a hockey rink, each time filled with about 1,000 to 1,500 school kids. And we were introduced and the kids cheered like they were watching a hockey game. And then we got to sign books or pieces of paper or anything that the kids had. It was just a wonderful face-to-face for 3 days, and I guess we saw about 8,000 school kids.
Wow.
During that time.
Rockstar Bill Swan. And last May, too, you were selected to be part of the TD Canada Children's Book Centre book tour. So talk about that experience.
Well, each year as well, Canadian Children's Book Centre, which provides reviews and information on books and authors for teachers and parents and anybody who's interested. Each year, sponsored by TD Bank, they name 29 or 30 authors and illustrators and send them on tour across Canada to various provinces. I was lucky enough to be sent to Prince Edward Island, where for the week we went around and during that time addressed about 14 different school groups and did a reading and talk about my books and about writing, and that was just a great experience. But a great initiative by CCBC and TD Bank.
Well, long may it continue. So what are you working on now?
I'm now on the 124th draft of a science fiction book. You laugh because you've read this, and this is the moment of truth here. For the radio listeners, Gwen and I belong to the same writing critique group, Critical Mass, that meets every 2 weeks in so far in Whitby. And the book that I'm working on is Jason Arnold and the Girl in the Climbing Tree. And it is a story of a boy who is a bit of a nerd and a social misfit, who is surprised at the beginning of the school year by the new girl who appears at school who claims she is a time traveler. And we'll just leave the rest to your imagination.
Yeah, so science fiction, not real justice. So why science fiction?
I grew up with science fiction. My introduction to reading as a teenager was science fiction. And those in the days when, if you were reading science fiction, you had to hide it behind a book cover because that was seen as less than literary, and you certainly wouldn't want to submit that for book reports. I find it very fascinating now that the very books that I was reading then have been on the school curriculum
That's
for
right.
sometimes 10 and 20 years and are classics. And the other is that the book that I'm working on is science fiction, which should not be confused with fantasy or even science fantasy. Is that the difference is in fantasy you can make up horses and dragons and, you know, put wings on anything you want, including pigs, I guess. where science fiction, the rules of the game are that you have to change one little bit of science, and then it's the implications of that little change that you've made. Everything else has to be consistent with that. It creates different worlds.
Right.
Not the ones that you might fantasize about.
But it still sort of works with 99.99% of the real physics of the world.
Yes. Yeah. The fascinating thing, and I've done a fair amount of reading on this, because this story does involve time travel, is that, again, in my teenage years, time travel was seen as a fantasy that could never happen. Now, physicists for the past 20 years have been writing papers on the reality of time travel and how theoretically it could happen. There is nothing in physics that says that time can't move backwards as well as forwards, and that it's theoretically possible that this could happen.
Wow.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
I want to get this book out before the actual invention of time travel.
Right. Well, thank you, Bill. And now we'd love to hear you read again. What will you read for us this time?
This time, I would like to read from my unpublished book, Jason Arnold and the Girl in the Climbing Tree.
Wonderful.
Chapter 3. Jason Arnold had been in the principal's office before, but never so early in the school year. Strangely, Mrs. Willowdale wasn't at her desk. Mr. Mathers, the principal, was not in his office. Jason sat alone on the bench, in the silence, wondering where they were, when the girl from the climbing tree flounced in, swinging her silly lunch pail, hair and pigtails on each side of her head, blue eyes with long lashes. "I met you in the schoolyard," she said, looking right at him. Jason shrugged. "You could have at least told me it was a rule against climbing trees," she said. "Now, apparently, I've stepped in a cow pie." Jason looked at her. "Cow pie?" "Stepped into a cow pie," he said. "Metaphorical cow pie," she replied. Jason said nothing. "My name is Mary Brianna Primrose," she said, "but you may call me Bree." "You were climbing a tree," Jason said in a brave attempt. "That's against the rules." "I needed to check my orientation," she said, ignoring the comment, "to get my bearings." "Well, you could have sent up a drone," Jason replied. "Drone?" Bree asked, as though it were her turn to be an echo. "What planet do you live on? You know, like a plane you control from the ground with a camera in it." "Well," she said, "you're pretty clever. What's your name? I've told you mine." "Ichabod Nobleness," replied Jason, "the third." "The principal wants to see me because I climbed a tree, so you're right, it's against the rules. Now, at my last school..." Jason didn't bother to look up at her again. "Your school allowed tree climbing?" "Yes," she said, "but you wouldn't understand." "Understand what?" "My last school." "Well, you're right," Jason said, "I don't." And he crossed his arms and turned away, trying to ignore her. "Where is the what do you call him? The principal?" she asked. "He's been kidnapped by aliens," Jason replied, "along with the school secretary." "Do tell." "Aliens have taken them hostage." Bree looked at him. "You're likely in on it," Jason added. "Yeah, that fit and would explain a lot. You look a bit like an alien." Bree looked at her dress and back at Jason. "The dress doesn't fit here, does it?" she said. "Thanks for pointing that out." She said this last sentence kindly, as though she meant it, which surprised Jason. She continued, "I'll have to fix that. If I stay, that depends." Jason replied, "If I had a choice, I would not stay." Bree looked at him strangely. "Where would you go?" He shrugged. "Anywhere. The island of misfits, likely. Maybe we both belong there." Bree brightened as though she had made some big decision. "You're not going to believe this," she said, "but I'm going to tell you anyway." As though she were revealing an important secret, Bree said, "I am a time traveler." Jason smiled. Aren't we all? My Grandpa Matt says we're all traveling through time. That's why we get older. No, really. I'm researching the history of the inertial anti-gravity drive. Jason lifted one eyebrow. Anti-gravity drive. Despite himself, Jason found the concept interesting. Finally, someone who talked his language. But what's that got to do with time travel? Time travel is impossible, since you would have to move faster than the speed of light. Time travel would make it possible to receive messages before they've been sent. Bree didn't blink. She just asked, "Do you have a problem with that?" They both sat silent for a moment. "But I do have a game on my phone," said Jason. "It's called Warp Worlds. It requires jumping through all 11 universes until..." "That is silly," said Bree. "There's only one universe, and even it's in trouble. In my time, we lost 4 or 5 centuries. No one's exactly sure." Jason shrugged. "Impossible, but interesting. It happened. It really did. Poof!" Jason nodded. "Gravity is the key to time," said Bree. "That's why I need to find the inventor of the anti-gravity inertial drive. Then maybe we can find the missing 5 centuries. "You said 4 or 5. "Well, nobody really knows. How can you measure something that no longer exists? But you think you'll find this anti-gravity device here, now?" Bree added. "Well, that's the drive that powers starships. In my time, right now, a giant starship, the Jason Arnold, is leaving Earth headed for Alpha Centauri. It's empowered by an anti-gravity-powered unit so powerful that..." Just then, the principal, Mr. Mathers, walked in. A large, rather round man in a brown suit, he puffed through the doorway, checking the time on an old-fashioned pocket watch. "Sorry I'm late," he said, and then he looked at Bree. "You're the new girl," he said in a flash of brilliance. "My name is Mary Brianna Primrose." "The girl who climbed the tree." His voice was stern. He turned to Jason. "And you," he said. "The very last person I expected to see in my office on the first day of school was Jason Arnold." Bree's jaw dropped. She stared at him. "You?" she said. "You are Jason Arnold?"
Thank you, Bill. We've been talking with author Bill Swan and his books in the Real Justice series, and in particular his book about Stephen Truscott, Real Justice 14 and Sentence to Death. Bill, where can listeners buy copies of your books?
Well, obviously you can buy the books directly from my publisher, James Lorimer & Company in Toronto, or actually any bookstore can order them in very easily.
Well, thanks again, Bill. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us with comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll also find all our broadcasts archived, so you can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 p.m. on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio.